It's Thursday, March 19th. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is your daily coronavirus update. A little bit of perspective as we face this coronavirus pandemic. It is a disaster that has no modern parallel. Even some of the worst events that have happened, like natural disasters or terrorist attacks, happen in one place at one time. But this is a health threat hitting the globe all at once, and it will affect us in many profound ways for some time. Brian Walsh, future correspondent at Axios, joins us for why this is an endurance race with no clear end yet. Thanks for joining us, Brian.
It's good to be here.
Continuing our coverage of the coronavirus pandemic, this is really something that's going on that has no modern parallel for us. A lot of times when you hear coverage of this, people are going back to the Spanish flu of 1918. That's one of the earliest things we can kind of compare this to, maybe. People, millennials, and surrounding generations have just no experience with anything like this. And we're starting to feel the effects of it. There's lockdowns happening in different states and cities, bars, restaurants are closing, all of this stuff is happening. And this is going to kind of change how we operate for the time being. The economy is going to suffer because of this. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen as a result of trying to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. Brian, tell us a little bit about this. What are we in for?
I absolutely think you're right that there's really no precedent we go back to, at least not within our modern memory. Like, we may want to go back to traumatic events like Hurricane Katrina or 9/11, but the important thing to remember there is those events were geographically limited by time. You know, they affected the people who were in the disaster area or around New York, obviously, during 9/11, but this is truly global. There's no real place to escape both the direct effects of the virus itself, eventually, as it continues to spread, and certainly no real place to escape the social distancing measures that have to be put in place to combat that spread. So that global nature is really something we haven't faced. I mean, if you go back all the way to the Spanish flu pandemic, surely there's similarities there, but it's a very, very different world, much more globally interconnected, much more higher standards of healthcare, so we expect more. So what we're in for both, I think, however long this actually takes, and then the impact that we'll have following it, it's not something we have any experience with.
You can hear definitely in the way that President Trump is starting to get a handle on this situation and his team. I think the administration is getting better at handling this now. You know, they have a singular focus. They have a very good team behind them, and they're following the recommendations of the experts. So I think they're starting to get a handle on it. When the administration has a lot of things going on, sometimes things tend to be a little wacky. But right now, with the singular focus, I think they're starting to get a little bit better. Obviously, leadership is key in all of this. You mentioned in your article that something instructive for us could be going back to World War II and how we operated then. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think that really World War II might be the best example you can go back to. And that's not so much because of the disease itself, but for the total public mobilization that the response to World War II really required the American public. Obviously, not just the millions of Americans who were drafted or volunteered, went into service and actually fought and then died, but those here at the home, what we had to do in terms of changing our day-to-day lives, that we had to deal with rationing of public goods, of gasoline, of food. Even here in New York City, where I live, we actually had to dim out the skyline of the city to reduce the risk of ships being picked up by submarines actually during the war. And that lasted for 3 or 4 years, and it was totally transformative. And while the public did get behind that, it wasn't quite as easy as it looks back in retrospect. I mean, it took effort. It took fighting to really get to that point. But that's kind of what we need to deal with. And of course, what it really requires us right now mostly to do is stay at home, not go out, don't be part of a chain of infection. But that's going to be hard because it's really going to require us to give up most of the things we think of as daily life.
And that's definitely going to be tough. I mean, we just did a story about kind of this quote unquote generational war that's brewing over the coronavirus. You know, young people feel like it doesn't affect them the same way. You know, when you look at mortality rates and how severe the symptoms are. So they're doing lockdown parties and they're still trying to be out and about and do things. And I want to have the faith that everybody will come together eventually. But yeah, it does take a little bit of time there. So what's next in all of this? It seems like the economy is going to suffer greatly because of this. You know, a lot of sectors are closing down and suffering because travel restrictions and all that. So what's next? What are we looking toward?
The only sort of global sort of disaster we kind of have that sort of is like this, other than a big war like World War II, is actually a big global recession, something that spreads around the world like a contagion, really impacts us, changes daily life. The difference here is that it's going to be incredibly immediate. You're not just talking about the unwinding you get during a downturn, a slowdown. You're talking about just demand, jobs, businesses essentially being vaporized over the next few weeks as people stop spending money, stop going out, or stop being able to do anything, really. It's hard to really even prepare for that. I think just what you're seeing from the Trump administration with some of the measures they've talked about over the last day or two, talking about sending out checks to Americans, just giving people $1,000, is a testament of just how extreme that's going to be. You're going to really need to float people to keep them going. And while we're only seeing the beginning of that, that's going to really be going hand in glove with the speed of the coronavirus itself. You know, this 1-2 punch, that's going to be hard to endure, I think. And that's very different even than 100 years ago, when you didn't have a global economy that was so connected and so quick to get sick, essentially, when something like this happens.
And I want to read the bottom line from your article. It says, there's no escaping the public pain to come. We're just beginning an endurance test that has no clear end. And not to alarm anybody, because the vast majority of cases do experience mild symptoms if you have COVID-19 and all that. But this is serious. You know, we have to practice all this social distancing to help mitigate that spread. And, you know, we're looking at the healthcare system in America here. People are talking about a ventilator shortage that could be coming. This is one of those things, as you've been saying, kind of how when we operate on the global level like this, or when something's affecting us that way, you know, we can't just necessarily borrow stuff from other countries because they're going through just the same exact thing.
Exactly right. I mean, this is not, again, like a hurricane where you can send aid from the rest of the world, the rest of the country, tell people out or shelter them. Everyone's going to need to be looking after their own needs while sort of doing their part for the public. And I understand that people, it takes them time to fully get that, because absolutely you're right that the vast majority of people will probably not really face a direct health threat from this virus. So yeah, I can get why it takes time to realize that. But it really does require that sort of coming together. And this is the endurance test I talk about, because it is simply a certain amount of public pain. It's going to vary from person to person, but we're all going to have to undergo some of it. And that's where the test will be of us as a public, us as a whole country, really us as a whole world, for whether we can endure that, because it's going to take a lot of time. You know, we don't know how much time. It could be a matter of weeks. It could be a matter of months. I mean, some of the upper limits go beyond that, which is really hard to contemplate. But that's what we have in front of us, a marathon race that doesn't have a clear finish line. And we just have to keep running in the meantime.
Brian Walsh, feature correspondent at Axios. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
This has been your daily coronavirus update. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.